This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Lisa Mullins. Amy Cuddy became an internet smash hit in 2012 when she delivered a TED Talk about how holding our bodies in expansive, confident poses can change our internal chemistry. And that sets in motion a change in our actual thinking.
Before you go into the next stressful evaluative situation, for 2 minutes, try doing this in the elevator, in a bathroom stall, at your desk behind closed doors. That's what you want to do. Configure your brain to cope the best in that situation. Get your testosterone up. Get your cortisol down. Don't leave that situation feeling like, oh, I didn't show them who I am.
Cuddy is a social psychologist who teaches at Harvard Business School. 30 million people have viewed her TED Talk. It's now the second most watched TED Talk ever. Well, this week, Amy Cuddy is releasing a book that follows up on the popular talk. It's called Presence. Amy Cuddy, thank you for coming into our studio. And I wonder what it's like for you to hear that TED Talk that some 30 million people...
I'm having some post-traumatic stress.
Well, you're hiding it very well. And that's what we want to talk about. The subtitle of your book, the new book, is Bringing Your Boldest Self to Your Biggest Challenges. How does it take your research from what was included in the TED Talk and expand on it?
Well, you know, when I first started doing that research, I was thinking about one situation, which was, how do I get students to speak in class and feel more comfortable doing so? And then also, how do I get them to feel comfortable job interviewing? What happened after the talk was that I got, you know, tens of thousands of emails from people all over the world who heard their own version of that song, right? So they sang it back to me in a different way. And I heard stories like a 13-year-old girl in mainland China who said, I really want to be taken seriously in my classroom.
Yes.
I want the teacher to call on me. So now I power pose before I go in.
And maybe for those who haven't seen, the few who haven't seen the TED Talk, power posing briefly is...
In the talk, I describe power posing as standing in a very expansive posture. Imagine yourself like a starfish, standing like a starfish for a short period of time, less than 2 minutes, in private, before you actually walk into a stressful situation. That's what I call power posing.
And your research has shown what?
At that point, what we had shown was that power posing for just 2 minutes versus low power posing, meaning holding yourself in a contractive position, increases your feelings of power and confidence significantly, increases your risk tolerance. And in our first study, we showed that it also elevates your levels of testosterone and decreases your levels of cortisol, meaning it's increasing the hormone that's associated with assertiveness, decreasing the hormone that's associated with stress.
Instantly it does that.
Right. Yes, it's a very fast change.
Okay, so take us from that kind of expansion to expanding on the idea of presence and how you define presence.
I define presence as the state of being able to comfortably express our true thoughts and feelings and values and talents and knowledge. So knowing who you are and being able to access that when you most need to. So for example, say you are a nervous test taker, but you've studied madly for the MCAT. You know all that you need to know, but you know that you're going to choke when you get in there. When you are able to be present, you can actually unlock that knowledge and share it.
Another example, this one closer to home, has to do with the Reverend Jeffrey Brown in Boston. You devote an entire chapter to him. He's one of the founders of the Boston 10-Point Coalition, which worked with police and other local leaders to bring about what was called the Boston Miracle. This is in the 1990s when violence among young people in the city dropped almost 80%. He came into Boston, as you describe it in the book, in a very difficult situation. He kind of envisioned himself as this young preacher who wanted to have a mega church. It ended up being just the opposite because of the violence problem that he learned how to address. And I mean learned because you talk about his learning curve.
Jeffrey is like the embodiment of presence. So Jeffrey, it's true, when he was in his mid-20s and moved to Boston, he thought he might have a megachurch. And he got sort of brought into what was going on around gang violence because he was asked to hold a candlelight vigil for a young man who had been killed near his church. He really resisted. He felt like, this is not what I want to be doing, and my congregants don't really want these people, meaning gang members, coming to my church. What Jeffrey and a couple other young ministers decided to do, what they realized was not happening, was that no one, even if they were really trying to help these young people, no one was listening to the young people.
Gang members.
That's right. So Jeffrey and these other young ministers decided that what they needed to do was meet them in their homes, which meant going out and walking the streets from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. You know, they wore their collars, but they came saying, we don't have answers, we want to listen.
And it was extremely difficult and dangerous because he had to put himself in the sights of some of the people who he knew could have been the murderers and go to homes and talk to families. And in some cases, he couldn't wait to get out of there because he thought he might be in danger.
Jeffrey said before that, everything I knew about gang violence, I learned on the 11 o'clock news. So I started asking questions like, you know, what's it like to deal drugs? What's it like to know that this is a short life? As he would say, stop preaching and start listening. And presence is so much about recognizing that. You don't have all the answers. Sometimes you have to shut up and listen to be effective, to actually truly authentically engage in that situation, even when it's really, really challenging to do that.
You write about having the presence to not speak, and that's what you say Jeffrey Brown did. And you say something I thought was very interesting. Slowing down is a power move.
It is.
How so?
When we feel powerful, we expand in many ways. We expand our bodies, we stretch out. We also expand temporally, so we speak more slowly. We take more pauses, and we wait. We're not afraid
to
sleep on it and take some space.
I wonder if there's what you would like to see the outcome of your research and your experiences as well.
I'm more concerned that we have a lot of people in the world feeling powerless, not powerful. Recently, I heard from a teacher who works with students with disabilities. He was working with a fourth grader who has selective mutism, which is an anxiety disorder that makes it very difficult for children to speak when they're in social situations. The social threat is intense for them. So he taught him about power posing, taught him that lots of people feel like imposters and lots of people feel scared, and slowly nudged him to speak a little bit more each day in class. He now has that student leading discussions. That's a story that I think is just amazing. Recently after a talk, a middle-aged man walked up to me with tears in his eyes, and he said, I want to thank you for giving me my father back. He said, my father has Alzheimer's. He said, when I first learned about, you know, expanding your body, I started getting my father to do that every day for 5 minutes. Alzheimer's makes people feel so powerless and so collapsed, and it takes away their sense of pride. And he said, every day I get my dad back for those 5 minutes. He said, he's powerful, he's proud, and he's clear. I don't know how long it will last, but for now, I know I have those 5 minutes to look forward to.
Amy Cuddy's new book is called Presence, Bringing Your Boldest Self to Your Biggest Challenges. Thank you again.
Thank you so much for having me.